David Eagle's blog, read by David Eagle. July the 8th, 2014. Pop goes the Eagle. As I write this blog post, the Emily Sandé song Next to Me is playing. I quite like the song, but for me it's severely marred by the almost constant sound of a man shouting, "Hey, hey, 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 hey," while Emily is singing. The poor girl is pouring out her heart and soul, and there's some random bloke shouting all over her. Feel free to give the song a listen for yourselves, and you'll see what I mean. That's what it says on the written version, but don't worry, my friends, because I will save you the trouble from having to stop the playback of this MP3 file. Don't worry about it, I've got it covered. We'll have a listen together, shall we? Listen. You won't find her drinking on the table. So there she is, just having a nice little sing. So there she is, she's singing a song, and then the chorus comes along, and then some random bloke just shouting, "Hey, hey, 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 hey!" Next to me. Ooh, next to me. There he is. And it's not just for the chorus, he does it for the verses as well. All the way through the verses, he's doing his stupid noise, incongruously just repeating the same word over and over again, just going, "Hey, hey, hey!" It's whizzing around the stereo field from channel to channel, which, if anything, adds an extra element of distraction and irritation. Emily's voice is placed bang in the centre of the stereo mix, while this "hey, hey, hey, hey" nonsense is flying around my headphones, making me feel dizzy and nauseous. I've never seen her perform the song live, and so I don't know whether she has someone stood on stage with her to shout the "Hey"s. Perhaps he positions himself in front of her and runs back and forth across the stage so as to visually reproduce his frustrating flitting across the stereo field present in the recorded version. Maybe he also performs a series of off-putting gestures in front of Emily just to distract and irritate the audience even more. I also assume that the decision to incorporate the "hey, hey, 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 hey" nonsense was not an artistic choice made by Emily Sandé. The producer was probably told by a label executive that the song was sounding a bit too country and it needed popifying a bit in order to target the right demographic. So the producer, in his infinite wisdom, decided to stand in front of a mic, shout a couple of "Hey"s, and then loop them over and over again, before buggering off to the pub with a smug feeling of a job well done. "One day," he thinks, "someone will recognise my incredible talents. I've left my mark on this record, I really have. They'll make a documentary about me one day, all about my genius, and they'll focus an entire 10 minutes on my groundbreaking work on the Emily Sandé song. Are you the man who had the idea to put the 'hey, hey, hey, hey's' on the Emily Sandé song?" people will ask. And I'll proudly tell them that not only was I the man to have the idea, but I was also the man who recorded and looped the 'hey, hey, hey, hey's' on the Emily Sandé song. They'll probably faint upon hearing this. I should probably get myself on a first aid course. After all, with great power comes great responsibility. But then, our amazing producer hero has a eureka moment. Perhaps it comes to him in a dream, like Paul McCartney's Yesterday, which probably didn't really come to him in a dream, but he says it did in interviews, because it's a lot more interesting and mysterious than just saying, "No, I was just jamming with a guitar, you know?" But anyway, putting the inception of the Beatles Yesterday aside, let's get back to our music producer here, who has just had an incredible brainwave. He runs to the studio. He is so excited that he's not even got out of his pyjamas. He's running down the street in his slippers at 5 in the morning because he can't wait to try out his new idea. "If this works, it could change the way we think about music forever," he thinks. He sprints into the dark, deserted studio, switches on the computer, dives into his chair, panting, delirious with anticipation. The computer seems to take an eternity to load, but when it finally does, he brings up the Emily Sandé song. Immediately, he sees the waveform created by his "hey, hey, hey, hey's." "It even looks great," he sighs. He marvels at its beauty, its majestic curves and contours. Such a waveform as this he has never seen before. He solos his "hey, hey, hey, hey's." He exhales sharply, astounded by its sound. Good God, it sounds even better than he remembered. He takes a moment to bask in its ineffable majesty, and then, his entire body trembling, he begins to act upon his incredible idea. He reaches for the pan knob and begins to twist. The sound of his "hey, hey, hey, hey's" move from the centre of his headphones towards the left channel. He is almost overcome by ecstasy, but he manages to hold on to his composure enough to carry out the second part of his master plan. He proceeds to twist the knob back into the centre, and then to the right. He continues to turn the knob left, then right, and the sound of the haze match the course of his turn. Oh, it sounds even better than he dared dream. How does it sound with the rest of the song, he wonders. He unmutes the track and listens in awe to his mastery. He is too absorbed by hubris to realise that it sounds utterly shit. Chances are that this story is not entirely true. Perhaps Emily did have a say in the Hey 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 Hayes. Maybe she had a friend or relative who was very down and out and in need of some work, and so Emily had the idea of getting them on her record and they could earn some money that way. Unfortunately, though, the person in question lacked any talent whatsoever. But Emily was too kind-hearted to back out, and so gave them the task of shouting Hey repeatedly over the track. I might not feel as irritated by it if I knew that the whole Hey 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 thing was an act of charity. Perhaps other pop stars could follow Emily's example and do their bit, maybe teaming up with Help the Homeless to get people off the streets and into the studios, shouting random words and phrases over pop songs. Let's be honest, in most cases, it wouldn't really do any harm, as the majority of mainstream hits are crap anyway, and in some instances, it might even improve the song. Everyone's a winner. Another example of a song that features an annoying man sticking his oar in when it's not needed is in the Fugees version of Killing Me Softly. Lauryn Hill is singing, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song. And all the while, Wyclef Jean is shouting over her, one time, two times, two times.
Strumming my pain with his fingers.
At the start of the song, there's also a bit where Wyclef, Lauren and some others are all talking nonsense over each other at the same time. At the end of the song, the same thing happens, with Wyclef gibbering on about something or other, while Lauren begins to reel off a litany of people. El Boogie up in here, she declares, while Wyclef is chuntering on about what he had for tea or something equally mundane. If they both want to talk, then why don't they take it in turns? In fact, Lauren is evidently distracted by Wyclef's talking while she's talking, because after she's just said, El Boogie up in here, she repeats it again. I said, El Boogie up in here, as if she was concerned that we might have not heard her the first time. Don't worry, Lauren, we heard what you said both times, and it was just as nonsensical the second time as it was the first time. Or maybe the real reason Lauren repeats herself is to please Wyclef Jean, who's seemingly taken by the notion of saying things two times, including the phrase two times. El Boogie up in here, she drones. I said, El Boogie up in here, Wyclef up in here. Yeah, as if we needed telling. She continues to shout the names of people and inform us that they're all up in here as Wyclef continues to blabber on before someone in the studio eventually has the bright idea to fade them all out. I'd like to think that the person in the studio didn't tell them that he'd faded them out and he'd stopped recording, and so they just went on talking nonsense over each other for another hour. Frankly, it's only what they deserve, the twits.
My man, Little Bass, Jerry, one time. This is how we
There's another song that I can't recall, but I remember that all the way through this song, a female singer keeps being interrupted by a man shouting, "Say what? Say what?" She then repeats what she's just sang, and the man interrupts again, shouting, "Say what? Say what?" I remember thinking that if the man stopped shouting, say what, over her singing, then he might be in a better position to hear her, and then he wouldn't have to keep asking what she's just said, saving us all a lot of aggravation. On a similar vein, I remember listening to the Radio 1 Rap Show with Tim Westwood once and finding it ridiculous how Timothy and his homeboys would all shout unfathomable drivel down a distorted microphone while the sounds of horns, bombs, gunshots, rap music and record scratches masked whatever nonsense they were shouting. But what I found amusing about the whole thing was how they would periodically throw in the phrase, "You know what I'm saying? Of course we have no idea what you're saying." And I doubt whether, in fact, you yourselves really have any idea about what the hell you're saying. Although I was surprised to find that almost universally, Westwood would answer with an enthusiastic, "Yeah, man," or "For real." I was fascinated to uncover the deep mystical words of wisdom that I was missing out on. But no matter how hard I strained to hear above the bombs, the horns, the gunshots, the blurring beats and the record scratches, I couldn't decipher the garbled phrases. Although they were shouting it in a way that suggested that what they were saying was really vitally important, which only impounded my frustration further. In actuality, it was probably just some boring small talk about the weather or something. Incidentally, the reason Emily Sandé was playing was because I'm in the process of working on ideas for a DJ set for someone's wedding in August. This means that I'll have lots of new material to use for a third pick and mix, which I'll probably be releasing in September. Obviously, this one will be a lot more poppy than the previous two mixes. I'm not sure that the happy couple would remain happy if I started blasting them with Flanders and Swan mixed with the Chemical Brothers or Sinead O'Connor with Aphex Twin. But there'll still be some very interesting and surprising mixes and some unlikely song combinations for you. So, given the poppy nature of the next pick and mix, I thought of calling this particular mix Pop Goes the Eagle, because, of course, that would obviously be a hilarious pun. So, Pop Goes the Eagle will be out in September, unless you're an invite to the wedding, or a member of the bar staff, or a gatecrasher, in which case you'll hear it in August. In fact, I'm deliberately not mentioning whose wedding it is because I know that you'll all be so excited about the new pick and mix that you'll probably all cause a massive health and safety risk by gate crashing the wedding so that you can hear the mix before September. Finally, our Glastonbury gig went really well. We did a Glastonbury performance 2 weeks ago. If you've not been following things, don't know what's wrong with you. Well, have you got lives to lead or something? Anyway, we'll be sharing our Glastonbury experience, that's the Young'uns Glastonbury experience, with you on the next Young'uns podcast, which should be out at the end of July. And that's the end of this week's blog entitled Pop Goes the Eagle. However, I want to read this Facebook comment that someone sent. Oh, this one was particularly interesting from Phil Edwards, who said, "Love is a Stranger by the Eurythmics actually does include the vocal contributions of a random member of the public with no musical ability. The noises in the chorus are a guy who worked at a pie shop in London called Tilly's, which is a real place. I went there once, although unfortunately it was before I knew this story, not least because it was before the story had happened." Shall we give it a listen? Let's give the Eurythmics song a listen so that you can hear the "us" from the man who works at the pie shop, Tilly's. There we are, our pie shop friend there. You can hear him there. That's right, there he is. He's before Annie Lennox even starts. Quite a Clint theme, I think. It's a little bit disconcerting, isn't it? I never really noticed those noises before in the song. Maybe it's just him breathing, he's quite fat, he's, you know, he's eating too many pies, the studio's on the top floor, maybe. He's had to get up the stairs, he's just left the microphone on, that sounds good. You're not going to keep that in, are you, Annie? Oh, of course I am. Sounds brilliant. I haven't started singing yet. Yeah, no, the sound of your breathing sounds brilliant. Very rhythmic. Very rhythmic. Very good. I wonder if he sings on it. Phil didn't say he sang on the song. He just said he did the noises. Keep listening and see what happens. "My name is Joe. I work at Tilly's Pie Shop. Annie Lennox came in. She said, 'Hey, Joe, I can't stop. But would you like to get on your bike and take a hike to the studio? Because Joe, I want you, Joe, I want you, Joe,' she said, 'I want you to leave your pie shop and sing on my record.'" My goodness. I wasn't expecting that. I've heard the song before and I've never noticed that. This is absolutely crazy. I can't believe Phil didn't notice it either. He said it about the noises, but not about that. A cameo appearance there from Joe, from the pie shop. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back soon. I don't know who we are. The young'uns, me, whoever. Whoever wants to come in, I might get the person from the local pie shop to come in. Thank you for listening. DavidEagle.co.uk to keep up to date with everything that's going on. Well, not with everything, obviously. I mean, don't rely on me for the latest breaking international news. I mean, for everything David Eagle related, which is arguably just as important. Goodbye.